Welcome back to Around the Block here on CHUO 89.1 FM. It's the bottom of the hour, 11:30, and my name is Nick Taylor-Vasey. I'm your host. We just talked to several community leaders who are hoping to have a second footbridge built across the canal, the Rideau Canal. They mentioned a number of benefits for such an initiative, but they also conceded some costs, namely the price tag. This one would be longer and more expensive than its Corktown counterpart, and if suburban and rural councillors were reluctant to vote for one bridge once, they might well remain reluctant to approve another one. To speak to those concerns, I'd like to welcome into the studio the councillor for Capital Ward, Clive Doucette. Welcome to the show, Councillor Doucette.
Very nice to be here, Nick.
So first question is, how long ago did you start to think about a footbridge that would connect the Glebe to their neighbours in Ottawa East?
Well, I have a Christmas card I put together with a drawing, a fanciful drawing of a bridge across the canal, sort of like in the Venice bridge of size, done by Bat Boy, a local Glebe artist. And I sent that out to all my constituents, and I think that was 9 years ago. So I've been working on it for 9 years.
Have your constituents been thinking about it for that long, or are you sort of the first one?
I think no one had been thinking about it before, and when I first put it out there, some of my colleagues and supporters said, "Clive, you know, you can't do this because it's not credible to be asking for a bridge there. It's too expensive. We don't really need it, and you'll look like another example of the poet philosopher gone wild." And I said, no, we need a bridge there, and I kept at it at every budget, and we've made steady progress. We've got the Corkstown Bridge approved now. The detractors said it would be an enormous failure. We did the pedestrian count. We had 2,300 people on a cold October day a month after it was opened, and in the summer, there's up to 5,000 people use it. So it's a huge success, and that suddenly people are thinking, the Corkstown Bridge is 400 meters from the Laurier Bridge. The Clegg Fifth Bridge is a kilometer, almost a kilometer from either the Pretoria or the Bank Street Bridge. So it makes a lot more pedestrian sense to put one there than it did at the Corkstown.
And now one of the justifications for the Corktown Bridge, of course, was access to the transitway for those across the canal. But it turns out that a lot of university staff, students, administrators live on the west side of the canal, and they started to use it. And indeed, I guess it seems a lot of people from all parts of the city have used this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it has been hailed as a success. But I think one question that a lot of people have when they look at this proposed location for a second bridge at 5th and Clegg is the canal is wider there, which means it would be a longer bridge. It would be more expensive. Do you agree with that sentiment? And second, do you think that poses a problem?
I'm not sure it would be more expensive because the borders are not so complicated. If you look at the Corkstown Bridge, it's virtually a sort of a cliff face on one side, and it's pretty flat approach. And so I think maybe longer, but I think the approach and the departures will be easier to build. So I would guess it would probably be in the same kind of price range.
Given that, what do you think the support might be at council?
Well, I think, you know, the money is always a red herring in a way. I mean, it's really interesting that we spend hundreds of millions of dollars on new roads every year, and you put in a new pedestrian facility, and it's like pulling teeth. Like they're just $5 million is the cost of a large suburban intersection. That's what it is. It's one intersection, and the city never blinks. We're going to build, in the plan right now to build anyway, is a 1.8-kilometer two-lane roadway from Riverside Drive into the Trainlands development next to the Children's Hospital. You know what the price on that is? 1.8 kilometers? $65 million. We're going to widen Linebank Road, about 8 kilometers, just widen two lanes, $85 million. I mean, these are enormous costs for, I don't think that much service is already serviced there. You can still get it. You can still get into the hospital. I don't get people calling me up saying they can't get into the hospital. But if you're a pedestrian, it's very difficult. You're obliged to take a 35-minute walk, or you get in your car. And so, to my mind, if we're going to actually have a more European style of life, more pedestrian accessible life, you actually have to start investing in things that make a pedestrian life feasible. And if you think about the University of St. Paul and all of that group, the homes on the commercial area, along Main Street, all of that are in a direct line with 5th. They're all, University of St. Paul, if you had a bridge at 5th and Clegg, is probably a 10 or 12 minute walk from 5th and Bank, which is in that whole commercial strip. So suddenly, a whole new kind of vista opens up. Think about if we redevelop Lansdowne Park in a more pedestrian friendly way, with more stuff going on there on a daily basis. The connection to the other side would enhance that, you know, greatly. So it's I think it makes sense, and we've had made steady progress towards it. It's now in the pedestrian plan for the city of Ottawa.
Well, Bob, and touching on that, Bob Brocklebank in the last segment mentioned that the city has different priorities for transit. Walking and cycling are at the top, and then transit is third, and then automobiles is next down. So why is it then that a $5 million intersection takes priority over a pedestrian bridge? What's going on with councillors who approve that?
Well, I think it's 60 years of building our city the wrong way. You look at it really started. When I was born, the city was at the end of the pedestrian life of the city. It was built around 300 kilometers of streetcar lines that were surface that went to every portion of the city, and the streetcar line was based on a 5-minute walking shed. So you were 5 minutes away from your streetcar line. If you think about the old parts of the city, the Glebe, Old Ottawa South, Sandy Hill, where U of O is, Westboro. All of these communities were built around those streetcar lines, and it was a pedestrian city. Not the majority of people didn't own cars. And even if you did own a car, even the prime minister jumped on the streetcar and went to work. And it was that was the way we moved people in the city. And then in the 50s, the great shift began towards a city that was not based on pedestrians, to a city based on a car. You know, you didn't go anywhere unless, and so we tore up the east-west rail line and replaced it with a 6-lane and then an 8-lane. Now I think in some places it's 10 lanes, the 417. And we started building these car-based suburbs where 2 cars is standard in the driveway, not 1, maybe used occasionally on the weekend, and no real citywide rails. We have a citywide commuter bus service, but not a citywide 9-to-5 service. You know, no one in Ottawa depends, or, you know, the way on the modern transit system, the way we used to on the old streetcar system. So other cities kind of didn't go that far down the road as we did. Like, you look at Toronto, they retained their streetcar system, and then they even advanced it. They built in subways. We've built basically the commuter bus system, which is basically to make the roads freer up for commuters. It's not to serve the city, it's to serve commuters. And when we had the strike in the winter, who was yelling probably the loudest? The commuters, because our streets were really clogged. And so we have, in Ottawa, we've gone down the kind of, if you don't own a car, we really don't want you in the city kind of philosophy. And that's 60 years of development. Very difficult to change that. We've had budget. Think of the budgets when you're cranking $400-500 million into roads and road-supported stuff, and literally a couple of $100,000 into pedestrian stuff. It gets to be rooted in the culture so that it's hard for city councillors or the public to imagine doing it any other way.
Will that be the biggest stumbling block, do you think, at council, will be changing that mindset?
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be cost, it'll be more a priority of...
That's the big problem, to change the mindset. So you start to look at a pedestrian enhancement like a bridge across the canal, and you start to look at it as an advantage to the city, a good investment. I mean, you go to pedestrian dominant cities like Munich in Germany, which have a very big, quite a big river flowing right through the city, big fast river from the mountains. I was there and I counted 12 bridges. Pedestrian bridges across it in the space of, from say the NAC to Bank Street. I mean, people there take it seriously, and of course, when you get that kind of advantage, people get on their bikes, people walk. But if you disadvantage the pedestrian constantly, why should you walk? Why should you bicycle? You've got to be crazy, or some kind of ideologue. You get in your car and you drive. And that was the argument on the Corkstown Bridge we heard over and over and over again. Well, we've got the Laurier Bridge. It's just 400 meters away. What's wrong with people? Well, they were talking, of course, from the car experience. If you're in the car, what does 400 meters mean? Nothing. If you're on your feet, 400 meters down one side, over a bridge, and back is 25 minutes.
Do you think that then, a few years down the road, if this, you know, if the mindset of the city can be shifted somewhat, that we might not see 2-foot bridges across the canal, but even more? Is that a vision that there could be an even greater number of bridges?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you think about wanting to turn the greatest tourist attraction the city of Ottawa has is the Rideau Canal. It's known around the world. If people have a vision of Ottawa, they have a vision of tulips in the canal. It's a bigger draw than Parliament Hill. It's a bigger draw than the National Gallery. People come for all those festivals. Well, how much more of an exciting place if it's like Venice, where you can actually traverse really quickly back and forth? Think about Lansdowne Park. If it's sort of a multi-use thing. What if there was a skating rink like there is today with the 67s and a trade show? But imagine also if there was a concert hall and a art gallery. Imagine if there were, you know, soccer pitches and promenades and places for kids to play, and that place became just a huge draw for tourists when they came to Ottawa. They said, "Well, I want to go to Lansdowne Market. I want to go to Lansdowne to see what's going on there." And then, of course, if you got, you know, pedestrian bridges across the canal, suddenly there's a different kind of interaction between both sides. It's more lively. Imagine Venice without its bridges, or with having to say, well, you know, you have to walk 400 meters or 300 meters to get to the next bridge. I mean, you would not have the same kind of vitality, the same kind of interest.
I think if you present that idea to a lot of people in Ottawa, they might at first laugh, but it's kind of a neat concept, I guess.
Yeah, I think the laugh is unfortunate, because I think, you know, in the very big picture, I see the cities that do not prepare themselves for retraction, for contraction. I think the 21st century is all going to be about contraction. I think the 20th century was all about expansion, a massive, massive, violent expansion of population of cities in a way that the planet has never, ever seen. And I'm absolutely convinced, as long as a lot of other writers, that the 21st century is all going to be, and it's already started. People are just not wanting to see it. I mean, you think about Philadelphia, you think about cities that were boomed throughout most of the 20th century. They're now in full contraction. The population of Philadelphia declines every year, and they have a world-beating, you know, football team and hockey team and all that stuff, but they're contracting. Look at Detroit. Detroit's the big example. It's got at its height had 2.2 million people. It's now less than a million. It loses people every month, and people say, "Whoa, my gosh, Clive, that's Detroit. You know, the auto industry is going down the tubes." Well, the auto industry is going down the tubes in your community, my friend. It's going down the tubes in all of our communities, and it's going to have effect on every one of our communities, not just Detroit. We're not going to be able to grow the way we did in the 20th century. And the cities like Portland, who are able to draw in that urban boundary line and create communities, neighborhoods that are much more self-sufficient, that actually don't depend so much in creating wealth by getting in their automobile, can actually create wealth by using their feet, are going to be the ones that manage to ride this period of contraction out much better than those that are sprawled. And the bridge is all part of that.
Yeah, I wonder in that light, how long you think this might take to get going. We talked at the end of the last segment about sort of all the different things that need to happen for this thing to be built, all the public consultations, all the council has to vote on it, and there has to be a design, maybe even a design competition. How long do you think it might take, best case scenario, to have Fifth and Clegg connected?
I think... best case, 3 years. You know, I think because getting it on the pedestrian plan was a huge step. It's now part of the official plan. It's part of our agenda to move forward. It's not some pie in the sky thing. It's actually nailed down in our policy papers about how we're going to grow. So
now it just becomes not if we're going to have it. It's the debate is when. Is it going to be in 2 years, in 5 years, in 1 year? And my bet is as soon as we resolve Lansdowne, which I hope we do this year, we'll have that the bridge at Clegg and Fifth will become part of the Lansdowne redevelopment. So I'm saying most optimistic 2 to 3 years easy.
Now, what do you think most realistically?
Well, I think that is realistic. I think I don't think we're going to be waiting 18 years the way we did for Corkstown. I think it kind of broke the mold, and I think it'll fit well in with the Lansdowne redevelopment, because I think you're going to see the kind of development I'm talking about. That whole canal edge next to the park is going to become a people place. And once it's a people place, the idea of connecting it to the other side becomes, I think, very attractive.
I want to thank you for taking the time today, Councillor Doucette.
Just a great